This is the story of one mean little coffee bean. Thanks for joining me for this episode of The Coffee Bean and the Anthropocene. I'm Miss Hansen, and today I want to discuss one of my favorite daily routines, my morning cup of coffee. The story of the coffee bean is a tale of two worlds, a world of consumers and a world of producers. The tale we're most familiar with is the one of consumers. That's us. And most of the world's coffee consumers live in the developed world: Western Europe, Northern Europe, Australia, the United States, and Canada. Most of the world's top coffee consumers are from Europe, led by countries like Finland, Norway, Iceland, and Denmark. Wondering where Americans fall? We rank 25th. 64% of Americans drink coffee, and a majority of those coffee drinkers are brewing their morning cup of joe from the comfort of their own homes. Have you ever thought about where your coffee comes from?
Do you know where your coffee comes from?
Somewhere around the equator.
I don't drink coffee.
The coffee belt. Like, as in the coffee belt, not the coffee shop, the coffee belt, but the coffee belt, like, the country.
Because it's right around the equator, right?
Yeah.
The Coffee Belt isn't just a cute little coffee shop in downtown Muscatine. It's the name we use to describe the coffee-producing region of the world, which includes the tropics of Central and South America, Africa, and Southeast Asia. Countries like Brazil, the world's leading exporter of coffee, and Guatemala, Mexico, Honduras, Vietnam, Indonesia, Uganda, and Ethiopia. The list goes on and on. But one thing most of these coffee belt countries have in common, well, besides producing coffee, of course, is that they score relatively low on the Human Development Index, which measures the level of health, wealth, and education in a country. Today, we're going to follow a day in the life of a coffee farmer in Costa Rica. Miriam's day begins bright and early at 5:20 a.m. As she prepares a breakfast of rice and beans, and of course some coffee, her family joins her in the kitchen, gathered around a small table. Once breakfast is finished, Miriam's two children put on their boots and check to see how much of their skin is exposed to the sun. Her daughter looks for the mosquito repellent cream. Pulling their handkerchiefs over their heads, as well as their hats, the family jumps onto the back of their truck to leave for the farm. While morning dew is still fresh on the branches, the family arrives at the farm, along with others who will join them today. Each person carries a large canasta, or basket, which they will fill with ripe coffee cherries. The rows are narrow, barely 3 feet wide, and often overgrown. After a long morning of picking, the farmers break for lunch at 10:30. Maria, Miriam's daughter, yells, "Comida!" And everyone climbs up the hilly farm to a 200-year-old tree to enjoy the early lunch in the shade. The menu: tortilla, rice, beans, fried plantain, and eggs wrapped in a banana leaf. After lunch, it's back to the plantation for more picking. When the picking ends mid-afternoon, everyone pours their cherries into the cajuela, the box used to measure the coffee volume. Workers are paid by the cajuela, earning an average of $2 per box. The winner today picks 20 cajuelas, earning about $40. Miriam and her family haul the harvest back home to their wet mill. They will depulp the beans with a machine, check them by hand, and then dry them, a process which usually takes a few weeks to complete. Miriam's husband checks the drying beds. As the sun sets, Miriam is back in the kitchen preparing dinner for the family. Her children collect all the pulp removed from the coffee beans, dumping them onto the back of a truck. The pulp will be used in organic fertilizer on the farm. Stories are shared over dinner, and once everyone has showered and Miriam and her daughter finish preparing breakfast and lunch for the next day, the lights are turned off. It's only 8 p.m., but the family has another early start tomorrow. You had no idea your Starbucks was so complex, huh? The cost of your coffee has a lot to do with supply and demand. In 1976, a severe frost in Brazil wiped out a vast majority of the coffee crop, causing a huge spike in coffee prices in countries like the U.S. Other weather patterns like El Niño can cause drought in coffee-growing regions like Brazil. Have you ever stopped to think? What are the human costs of your morning coffee? Many farmers in the developing world are women, like Miriam. One way to ensure that they receive fair wages is by purchasing fair trade coffee. The fair trade stamp guarantees that products are made according to a strict set of standards that encourage environmental sustainability and ensure that the producers and farmers are treated and compensated fairly. What began as a grassroots movement now includes over 1 million small-scale producers and workers who are organized around the world. When markets fluctuate, like those in Brazil, the fair trade minimum price provides an important safety net for farmers like Miriam. It ensures they can rely on a stable income and plan for their future. 26% of workers on plantations spend their fair trade premium on education. One Nicaraguan farmers cooperative built a preschool using the premium they had earned from their coffee. Fair trade bans child labor. Children under 18 years old are banned from work that conflicts with their schooling, and no children under 15 are employed by fair trade organizations. Low coffee prices for you often mean that farmers and pickers earn less than a living wage. Would you pay a little more for your coffee if you knew it meant the farmers got their fair share? miles, give or take a few. That's how far my coffee beans journeyed to make their way to my cup this morning. That truly is one mean little bean. This podcast was written and produced by Rachel Hansen using Anchor, the app that makes podcasting as simple as making a phone call. Alex Osbaker, Kennedy Heimerdinger, Kyle Kennedy and Jason Moose Stolzfus gave their insights and feedback. A special thanks to Abby Enriquez, Hannah Pouts, Rebecca McNeely, and Kaylee McConaughey for their interviews on coffee-producing regions. Several coffee beans were consumed in the production of this podcast.